husband says that I am too submissive. And he says that I want to know if there is a healthy or an unhealthy line of submissiveness. And how can I draw that line, basically, or step up? Because he feels that I'm a pushover.
Some of you took a double take when you heard that. Thank you, Kelly, for your honesty and for your husband. It sounds like his sensitivity to helping you and wanting you to continue to grow and feel more confident. You know, that's really what he's probably talking about, feeling more confident. You know, I think many people grow up in homes and environments where they really get their sense of meaning and identity out of pleasing other people and not rocking the boat. Your husband may be seeing there's points that rocking a boat without sinking it can be a good thing. All right. Thank you, Kelly, for opening the show today. Dr. Randy here on this very special holiday time when we're remembering the Memorial Day here. So many special people and those who've given their lives and service and family members who've gone on before, as we have a vacation as well, maybe a time with your family, which reminds me that while we'd love to hear your comments today on how intentional living has made a difference in your marriage, love to hear your thoughts and comments at 888-888-1717. I want you to know today's program is a best of from our archives. All the calls have already been recorded for today, and we've got some great calls coming up in just a few minutes. So really, that's the question today, not just what Kelly is saying. I think she sort of sets the tone. I'll talk a little bit more about that later in the show. But love to have you call and share how intentional living, one thing that intentional living in Christ has done for you and your marriage to help strengthen your marriage and strengthen your relationship. Give us a call and share on our comment line. Again, 888-888-1717.
Well, the way that we have made our marriage last 20 years is intentional commitment to our marriage and to our Father above, who gave us one another, and takes a lot of prayer and dedication and intentional commitment to one another and with God.
Hello. To be intentional in my marriage, we have put Christ first in our relationship. We listen to Christian radio together and discuss what we listen to, and we do the Bible study nightlight just before we go to bed at night. Those are ways I am intentional in my marriage.
Hi, I'm calling to explain how my marriage has gotten better. I'm going to a Bible study that is a Titus 2 Bible study, where the older women teach the younger women how to love their husbands by respecting them. And it's interesting that we all need to be taught. It doesn't come naturally. My name is Sheila from Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you.
Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center, and appreciate your questions, your stories, your comments as you call 888-888-1717. All right, well, let's go to Kelly on the line in Georgia today. Kelly, welcome to Intentional Living Center.
Hi.
Hi, appreciate your call. What's your question today?
Well, I've heard it was a strange question, according to the guy I called last week, but
there are no strange questions.
My husband says that I am too submissive, and he says that, I don't know, I guess it's hard for me to explain. I want to know if there is a healthy or an unhealthy line of submissiveness, and how can I draw that line, basically, or step up, because he feels that I'm a pushover. And I'm afraid I'm
with him, or
I'm
in
not
general,
pulling my weight.
In general, he thinks that with
yes,
other relationships, you're too passive.
Yeah.
Is that really what he's saying? He thinks you're too passive.
Exactly. Like when we first got married, being young, and I guess I was bucking the horse, so to say, and I had to have the control. And then as I learned, God laid it on my heart to become more submissive. And now majority of the discussions or arguments we get into is, well, you don't step up to help me make these decisions anymore.
All right. Well, let me jump in, Kelly, because words matter. You know, the words that we use, when you say, am I too submissive, I can hear ears going up everywhere. You know, because usually people say, well, she's not submissive enough. You know, that's what I hear. So we hear, what does this mean? Submissiveness, to me, is not passivity. Submissiveness is not weakness. Submissiveness is a decision that we make. We have to be submissive in many relationships in the workplace. There are times under leadership we have to say, I submit to the authorities of those above me. I may not agree with them. I'll pray for them. I may confront them at times and tell them what I think, but I'm submissive, which means I'm not going to be subversive. I'm not going to gossip, but I'm not going to go behind their backs and so on. So I think I would ask your husband for a little clearer definition, because I don't think the word I would use would be submissive. I'm wondering if your husband is saying, honey, I love you, but you're too passive. I don't know what you think. I don't know what you feel. You're not contributing to our discussion. You're not telling me what your opinions are, what your thoughts are. And he's asking for you to be more engaged. Maybe he's saying you're just not engaged enough in their marriage and in life.
Mm-hmm.
And you're too passive. Does that make sense?
A little, yes. I guess. I guess that would be about right. And how could I...
Well, you know, Kelly, listen, we are who we are. Some people tend to be more passive. Some people tend to be more assertive. Some people are introverts, some are extroverts. And I think it's hard to come alongside of a person we love and say, you're not enough. You've got to be something else other than who you are. We've got to accept people for the way they are. But if your husband is asking you to be more engaged in making decisions, we got a budget decision, let's make a decision, or we got to make some decisions with the kids, then yeah, you need to step up because that's part of your responsibility in the marriage. But I don't think we try to redo our personality. Some people are more extroverted. I don't try to tell extroverts to become introverts or vice versa. I don't think you try to tell leaders that tomorrow they're going to grow up and just be we all have to follow, but that's the way they're wired. And sometimes followers are followers and they're not going to grow up and be a leader tomorrow. That's just the way we're wired. But within our relationship, Kelly, I would ask your husband to be very specific and say, honey, intentionally, I want to be intentional with this. Give me two or three things that I can do to be more engaged in a way in the marriage that you'd like to see me engaged. Then of those two or three things or five things, you can tell him, hey, these three things I can do, these two things I'll work on, and this one I just can't do. But right now, he has a certain set of expectations that he doesn't feel you're measuring up to, and that creates disappointment, and you probably feel that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just ask him to clarify what those three or four or five things are, and then work on those three or four or five things to help in your marriage. But don't try to rebuild, Kelly. You are who you are, and he married you, I guess, because he loved you the way you are, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Right. It does. I guess it's a balancing act because sometimes I feel like that he's raising, we have three children, I feel like he's raising a fourth one, and I'm like, I'm grown now, and I want to be involved.
There you go.
But sometimes I guess I'm a little hesitant because when the decision may not go the way he had planned it to, or, you know, it didn't follow through the way he wanted it to, then it all falls back on him.
And then you feel like if you're contributing, it's going to fall back on you.
Possibly.
See, you know, I think maybe if we're getting real specific about the marriage, I think the key here, Kelly, is it's us, not me or him. It's two of us. We're making decisions sometimes together, and it falls back on us. We're in this together. I think very practically, Kelly, you know what you guys could benefit from? You guys would be a great candidate to go to a Christian counselor and just say, hey, we want to learn to communicate, solve problems together, resolve issues. Not that we have any big major problems, but we just want some skill development on how to relate to each other and lead together in the family and get some strategies put together that'll work for the two of you. And when you do, I think that's a very positive thing. It'll be, frankly, it'll be very intentional. Good memories are a gift from God. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. Today is Memorial Day in the United States. It's a day that we remember. It's a great gift to be able to remember those who've gone on before us. Remember their lives, and remember their sacrifice, and remember their love. We grieve those who, as a result of illness or injury, have lost their memories. So on this Memorial Day, let's be thankful for the memories that we do have. Thank God for them. And here's one important thing we can do intentionally. Let's make memories today that'll be worth the next generation wanting to remember us after we're gone. This is a Memorial Day for all of us, and that each of us today would be thoughtful of those who've gone on before us, pray for the families of those who've lost loved ones, and together, let's make this an intentional Memorial Day.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
The communication reset is an important part of the process of really building the kind of marriage that, you know, I believe God intended for us. You know, there's a passage in Proverbs that says, "There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." It's a pretty gruesome and pretty powerful word picture of how our words affect each other. You know, I like to say that many of us, we say things we don't mean, or we mean things we don't say. And so with this reset, we're getting back to God's intention. Remember that your words will either lift or lower the temperature in your marriage. You know, I'm thankful for a reset button in life. I mean, we have it on our phones. We have it on my vacuum cleaner, our vacuum cleaner here. From time to time, I get a little lazy and I push the beater bar around and it catches my shoelace and it just wraps up in the beater bar and stops it, right? Instead of picking up the shoe like I should, and I need to hit the reset button to get it going again. And so we're thankful for reset buttons. But you know, in our marriage, God's given us an opportunity to hit a reset button. And maybe today that's what you need. You know, we're talking about this is Labor Day. It's a family weekend. And maybe you're sensing some stress in your relationships. And you think, hey, we really have to do hit a reset in our marriage or maybe our family. Maybe it's not in your marriage so much. Maybe it's a reset with a sibling or with one of your children or a coworker. But hitting that reset and understanding God's intention for your life is a powerful thing. And so the lesson this month has been on the topic. We're here at the end of the month now, wrapping up this month on the topic of a reset for marriage. And the members, you've received it already, both video and audio. Thank you for your support. If you're not part of our team, hey, come and join us today. We want to send you our master class. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com. Theintentionallife.com. It comes to our website. We've got helpful resources there for you. We got a list of all of our programs. You can get access to our podcast, which is heard around the world, and all of the archives of our programs as well. Again, go to theintentionallife.com. Click on the little donate icon and come and join us. I'd love to be able to report, you know, in the days ahead, hey, welcome. I'm going to let people know you've joined us. Would you do that? Would you pray about it? Come and join us. Go to theintentionallife.com. Thank you for your support.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
I'm Randy Carlson. This is the Intentional Living Center, and we always welcome your calls at 888-888-1717. Like Sam on the line in West Virginia today. Sam, welcome to our center.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. What's your question for me?
I had a question for you. Me and my wife, we have three kids. We've been married 7 years.
Uh-huh.
And I've got a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 2-year-old. And we're going to homeschool them and everything like that. But I guess the put it in layman's terms or whatever, my wife, she's just really exhausted because we don't have much help. I mean, we get some help, but not like we'd hope from our parents and stuff. But I think she's more so depressed. Has okay. The feelings and thoughts of, you know, just she's useless and worthless and
yeah.
Has no purpose, things like that.
Sure.
And, you know, no matter how much I try and encourage her and tell her how much I appreciate the sacrifice of her raising our kids and being a stay-at-home mom and wanting to homeschool them and things like that, it's like she hears me, but it doesn't help. So yeah. I'm just kind of wondering, what can I do, or is it something I'm doing wrong?
Well, it doesn't sound like you're doing anything wrong, Sam. I think any of us know when we get fatigued and tired, we don't feel very motivated and we feel down. I know if I miss a few nights of rest and we don't have kids any longer at home, they're raised, I can feel that way. And so just feeling fatigued, just feeling overwhelmed, just feeling like every day's the same picture of the day before without things to look forward to can be pretty draining. And for stay-at-home moms who are, you have three kids plus homeschooling, I can imagine she feels pretty overwhelmed. It seems to me, Sam, that you're not going to talk her out of it. You know, I'm with you and I'm for you. That's good. You need to keep speaking those kinds of positive affirmations into her life. But I think if she's feeling depressed, she needs to talk to someone, maybe change your schedule, have some things put in her life that she can start to experience some things that help her feel as a woman, that she has some value and worth. Even though we know she does as a parent, sometimes people need to have just a break and a perspective on things. And then you said something interesting. You said, we didn't get the kind of help we expected. And so, was it her parents or your parents that are not stepping up?
Well, it's really both of them. I mean, they do little things, and my wife's talked to her parents about how exhausted she is, and they'll help some, but, like, my side of the family has 8 grandkids, and her side just has my 3, so we kind of really hoped at least her side would do more, and we'd like to talk to them about it, but, you know, it's not in a point where they would need to defend themselves because we love them. We think they do a great job at what they do, but my wife just would like to have more help, like be more involved instead of a once-a-month thing, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do, and she's feeling sort of overwhelmed in terms of every day is like the day before, and she's fatigued.
Yep, and she's talked to her mom about it, and her mom's just kind of blew it off, really, and said, well, you know, I was a stay-at-home mom. I know what it's like, but, you know, she's always worked 3 days a week, so she really don't know what it's like. You know, she's had the help.
Yeah.
My wife doesn't work. Her job is staying at home and raising the kids. So.
Is your wife kind of hard on herself, though? I mean, does she beat herself up like she feels she should be better or doing more?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because what happens is you get a person who's either perfectionistic, everything's got to be perfect, or they're hard on themselves, never feeling like they measure up. They just keep running. It's kind of like being on a treadmill. Maybe if I just run a little faster, I'll do better and feel better. And as you know, there's a point of ultimate fatigue where you go flying off the treadmill, and that can happen in life too. Maybe what you could contribute to this thing, Sam, would be the practicality of saying, honey, you're doing a great job. You're overwhelmed. We need to sit down with someone, put a plan together that's going to give you more of a break. And if mom and dad can't help, then we're going to have to get some help in here. Maybe you're going to have to step up and do a little bit more. Maybe you're going to have to be realistic on what you can do and can't do with homeschooling and keeping the house neat and doing all the things that you have to do. I think probably the leadership role you can play is coming alongside of her and helping structure a plan that gives her a little more of a break. But also, if she's feeling depressed, she should probably talk to someone, either get in a support group, talk to her pastor, talk to a counselor, but get some help so she can, you know, get off her own back. She's her own worst enemy, would be my guess in some of this.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so I think it's encouraging her, but remember, when a person doesn't feel worthy of encouragement or they don't feel like they're measuring up or they're doing enough, you can't talk them out of it. And sometimes you got to just step in and change the process or change the system or change what's going on to help her get some of the stress off her back and then help her find somebody to talk to. That's what I think you should do. There's one thing you can do, Sam. Okay, I appreciate your call today, Sam, and we'll be praying for you.
All right, thank you.
All right.
My problem is, and I'm sorry that I'm upset.
Okay, this is one place you can be upset. It's okay.
I can't imagine that God's will is in my marriage, and I'm 56. Mm-hmm. You know, I was hoping I would be happy at this age.
I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining.
I'd like to know what the Lord's will is concerning my children and myself, and they are now 12 and 11. I got remarried, and I've been married for about 5 years. I have a decree set in, Randy, in motion that gives me allowance to see my children. But now, over this last year, it seems like my ex-wife has continually caused a severe wedge there. And it got to the point where, you know, I prayed diligently about it. I asked the Lord what he would have me do. And the thing that he gave me was to not fight with her.
And I'll praise you in this storm. And I will lift my hands. For you are who you are. Every tear
I just wanted to encourage those people out there that aren't sure where to go after an affair. My husband was unfaithful, and I know God's will is for us to hang on, and I don't hear that enough.
And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am, and every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand, you never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm.
Hello, my name is Amanda, and I had to file divorce, and I was really trying to make our marriage work. I prayed, and things would get better, and then when things were starting to get better, then, you know, I would slack on praying because I would get busy, and I almost feel like it was pointless just because of there's a lot of baggage in our marriage. Just drug use has happened, and he's always been pretty selfish, and not wanting to help me as a husband, so saying that it's not his duty. I need to get some suggestions on what else, because I really don't want a divorce, but it seems like that's the only option. It takes two people to make it work, and I'm the only one ever really putting effort. Thank you.
Well, Amanda, I think you really hit the nail on the topic I was just talking about with forgiveness, that there are consequences, and forgiving someone doesn't mean that there's not going to be a consequence. And sometimes the consequences are not pleasant. And I don't know your situation. You do. I don't understand. If your husband were on, I'm sure he'd have things to share. But I've seen this, Amanda, over and over. When people are willing to humble themselves and say, hey, this is no way to live. I want this marriage to work. I'm going to do what it takes to make this marriage work. And I'm going to humble myself and be the man that I need to be, or be the woman I need to be. I'm not going to allow the baggage of the past or the hurts of the past to keep me captive in the future moving forward. God can do an amazing work in a marriage that's willing to do that. And so I heard you say things like, I pray, and then I stop praying, then I keep praying, and things get better when I pray, and I don't know what to do. It felt like you were trying to carry the whole ball yourself. Can I encourage you, and maybe you've done this, but I encourage you to sit down with your husband and say, honey, listen, I filed for divorce, but I don't want it. That's not what I intend. That's not what I want, but I don't see any other way out. There's got to be a change. There's got to be a change in our relationship, not only in your life, but in our relationship. I've got to change. You've got to change. We've got to get back to our first love. There's going to be a process of forgiveness, possibly reconciliation. You're correct. It takes two people for a marriage to work. But it begins when two people are willing to humble themselves before God and each other. That's where the beginning point is in making a marriage work. And I pray that'll be a part of your relationship. Something to talk to your husband about. You're keeping the ball in his court. All right. Let me see here. Let's go to Alabama. We got a testimony or question. Go ahead.
Hi, Dr. Randy. I am Sharon in Alabama. And I was listening to your program today. I simply want to say that I commit to praying for my marriage for 30 days. We have been having a very strained and difficult marriage for the past several years, and I just decided to commit to prayer, put it in God's hands. Thank you so much. God bless your program.
Amen. Thank you, Sharon, for sharing. And if you're a new listener and you wonder what Sharon's talking about, one of the things we teach here is how we breathe life into our good intentions for our marriage and other areas of our life. And one of the steps is to intentionally do one thing for a period of time. And we sort of challenge for 30 days, something to try to break the old cycle that's not working, the old pattern or habits that are not working, and introduce something new and better. Now, at the end of 30 days, is your husband going to be changed? Maybe, maybe not. But I will tell you this, Sharon, at the end of 30 days, you'll be changed. Your attitude, your clarity of your mind and your thinking, your marriage may not be any better. I don't know what God is going to do in your husband's heart. But I know he can work in your heart. And it's going to give you an opportunity to say, on my half of this equation, before God, I'm choosing to take 30 days to pray for my marriage, for our relationship, and allow God to do something amazing in our work. You know what, Sharon? Call me back in 30 days and let me know what's happened. I'd love to share it with others. Everybody needs to hear how that's going for you.
One thing we're doing intentional in our marriage to help with communication, and I'm a good listener, but I found that I wasn't always listening real well to my husband. So what I'm trying to do intentionally is when he's talking, I really give him my undivided attention and really apply the listening skills.
One thing that I was doing intentionally to improve our marriage, one of the specific things that we really worked through was improving our relationship and our communication, and just really becoming one in our marriage.
I have decided to pick my one thing, and that is to not play video games. It's kind of put a wedge between my wife and I. I've talked to her about it, and that's what I've decided to do. I've been doing it for about a week now, and it's already made such a huge difference in my relationship with her.
You know, there's so many one things, small things, that can change the trajectory of your marriage. And you heard that gentleman talk about just, hey, my wife said too many video games, honey, we're not communicating. He changed that one thing, and he said, hey, already we have a huge difference in our relationship. I believe that marriages can be saved. I believe that relationships with children can be rescued. I believe people's careers can take a different direction, including people's health and their finances, by doing one thing. What is it? That's the question. What one thing could you do in your marriage over the next 30 days as we start a new month here soon that could make the biggest difference in your life in the month of June? And then do that one thing. You let me know at the end of the month what it is and what difference it's made. It's transformational. Today we've talked about marriage. And again, I hope that you found some encouragement. We love your comments. Share with us your one thing for your marriage so we can pray with you by going to theintentionallife.com. I hope this holiday time has been an encouraging time and a time to remember. If you'd like to know more about intentional living, about our upcoming activities, you can check it all out at theintentionallife.com. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, for my wife Donna, for Stephen, and the rest of the team here at Intentional Living. God bless you, and we'll see you next time from Intentional Living Center.